Hello, test, test. Testicle. Test. Testicular torsion. Test, test, test. It is time for another Drunk and Dangerous. That will be a test of your will to live. Can you make it through the whole thing? Let's find out, because hi guys, it's me, your host, Dangerous ASMR, and we're back for yet another Drunk and Dangerous. Hooray! Woo! Applause, applause. Yeah, I know. And today it is a special Drunk and Dangerous because we're actually out on a travel adventure. Somewhere else, I decided to film this in my office today. Why? I don't fucking know. I just felt like it. Because quarantine. Because I'm going insane. Because I thought maybe you would enjoy the blissful white noise of a very, very, you know, empty, noisy as fuck room filled with an air conditioner. A very big one. And a radiator. My office has everything. You know what, though, the way I'm describing it, it sounds like this Dickensian, like cement floor, like leaky pipe. Some air conditioner, like, rattling in a corner. You know? At least it's warm here by the engine. No, it just doesn't have a fuck ton of clothes in it, so it's kind of echoey and shit. And I'm honestly, like, I'm already high as fuck. I already moved all this shit here. I'm really fucking high, so I'm definitely not going to move all this stuff back to my room. I'd probably drop it on the way, and that's not safe. And you need to be safe in these socially distant times. I mean, if I fell and injured myself, you know, how long would it take the ER to get here? If I start coughing, they won't want to touch me. It's very dangerous, so. Not the good kind, not like my name. I should be able to say the word dangerous. I feel like since I became Dangerous ASMR, I cannot say the word danger or talk about something being dangerous without automatically being like, oh, fuck, this is going to be referred back to my channel somehow. Like, because everyone I know is an asshole, just like me. And we always have to, like, crack a joke when we can. And that's basically leaving yourself wide open. So now I have to say hazardous. And hazardous is fucking weird. Who says that? Hazardous? What the fuck? Even like my, you know, overly well-read mother, who's completely obnoxiously verbose constantly. I swear you cannot beat that woman at Boggle or Scrabble, which she made us play as children knowing she would destroy us. I still don't think I've ever won a game against my mom. I totally forgot where this was going. Oh yeah, even my mom wouldn't say, watch out, daughter, it's hazardous. The fuck? Okay. Fucking Shakespeare. All right. I'll watch. Prithee, it's okay with you. May sooth, fucking whatever. You know? William H. Douchebag. So anyway, yes, we're back for another Drunk and Dangerous. This is another 420 fairy tales. You have to ask yourself, why am I here? Well, you're in the office. I don't even remember why I brought you here in the first place, you know? I mean, why are any of us here, etc.? I'm stoned, so don't ask me that. Why are you back listening to this series? Quarantine, that's the best thing. You're sick in the head. I don't know. Maybe it's some kind of blunt force trauma earlier in life. I can't explain why you're here, but I enjoy the fact that you are. Let's all be traumatized individuals together. Individuals, is that the word? Oh, fuck, it is. Okay, never mind. Individual. I feel like I missed an extra D there somewhere, but no. Individuals. With me. And we'll read more of Grimm's fantastic fairy tales. I don't know about you, but I have a real hankering for some sheep's eyes. Let's see if I can find the file, which I should have already opened. But I did not. And why? Because fuck you, that's why. Okay. Come on, move your ass. Okay, all right, we hit another classic fairy tale. This one I'm sure you've all heard of. If you haven't, shut the fuck up. Yes, you have. Go Google it. Or just actually listen. This is the actual original fairy tale. What the fuck am I saying? I mean, to be fair, if you just wanted to Google it, you could read these all yourself. You wouldn't have to wait for my half-assed, obnoxious interpretation of these stories. You know, have at it. You too could read classics like The Devil with the Three Golden Hairs and the pussy-ass simp dad cut off his daughter's hand. Bitch. Today, we read stories even greater than that. This one is Puss in Boots. A miller had three sons, a mill, a donkey, and a cat. The sons had to grind grain, the donkey had to haul the grain and carry away the flour, and the cat had to catch the mice. When the miller died, the three sons divided the inheritance. The oldest received the mill, the second the donkey, and nothing was left for the third but the cat. That is a toxic fucking parenting right there. Holy shit. I guess his final wish was to drive a wedge between his children. I couldn't accomplish it in life, but I will in death, by God. What an asshole. This made the youngest sad. Well, no shit. And he said to himself, I certainly got the worst part of the bargain. My oldest brother can grind wheat, and my second brother can ride on his donkey. I know about you. When I'm sad, there's nothing I prefer more than riding on my donkey. Ride it, my donkey. Is that how it went? I don't remember. Anyway, man, I feel that same way. Sometimes, like, you look online, you see everybody posting about their amazing lives, and you're like, man, I wish I could grind wheat and ride a donkey. God damn it. Thanks, Obama. But what can I do with the cat? Don't think it. Cat girls are not real. Put it down. Once I make a pair of gloves out of his fur, it's all over. Ew, maybe that's why he... No, but that's sick. If you know your son abuses animals, you give him a cat, you sick fuck. He's like, hey, my third son's a real fucking weirdo. I'd feel bad about him abusing this donkey, but yeah, fuck this cat. It scratched me too many times. I know this sick fuck will make gloves out of its fur. What the hell? I thought it was a pet cat, not like some weird livestock cat bred for its fur. Some fucked up shit. Sorry, it's intermission. I was suddenly hit with the crippling realization that it's still 2020. We're all still inside. I kind of feel like, does anybody ever watch that old ass movie, The Day of the Triffids? You know what I'm talking about? With like those alien plants that attacked and like killed a bunch of people, and they made that weird fucking noise, which always freaked me out when I was a kid. And for some reason, whenever I think of like the end of the world, I don't think of like nuclear holocaust or, you know, fucking climate change or what. I think about Triffids. Hand to God. Triffids. Hands to Triffid God. His name is Jonathan. He's the Triffid God. This would be John V if they're Triffids. I don't fucking know why. Jonathan. There. His name is Jonathan. King of the Triffids. And on that note, I think we should continue. I'm good again. I'm okay again with the way things are, because, you know, one day our Triffid overlords will be there and I'll be happy again. All hail Triffids. All hail Jonathan. Because I'm just picturing like a really badass Triffid, like Ray-Bans on and shit. Jonathan, don't give no shits. God, this is fucking weird. Okay. The cat, I remember now, psycho youngest kid was like, I'm gonna make the cat into some gloves. The cat, who had understood everything that he had said, began to speak. Listen, there's no need to kill me when all you'll get will be a pair of poor gloves from my fur. Have some boots made for me instead. Then I'll be able to go out, mix with people, and help you before you know it. I'm not going to pretend to be Antonio Banderas, so don't even ask. Don't fucking ask. He's a different cat. The miller's son was surprised the cat could speak like that, but since the shoemaker happened to be walking by, he called him inside and had him fit the cat for a pair of boots. Okay. When the boots were finished, the cat put them on. After that, he took a sack, filled with the bottom with grains of wheat, and attached a piece of cord to the top. You know, he should have been dragging bacon with that cord. Which he could pull to close it. Then he slung the sack over his back and walked out the door on two legs like a human being. At that time, there was a king ruling the... For some reason I'm thinking we should stop saying walking, like bipedal walking is like a human. We need to say that people are walking like a cat walking upright. You know, and so then intrinsically that would be known as walking like a human. Why? Because I said so. At that time, there was a king ruling the country, and he liked to eat partridges. Random bit of information. However, recently the situation had become grave for him because the partridges had become difficult to catch. The whole forest was full of them, but they frightened so easily that none of the huntsmen had been able to get near them. The cat knew this and thought he could do much better than the huntsman. When he entered the forest, he opened the sack, spread the grains of wheat on the ground, placed the cord in the grass, and strung it out behind a hedge. Then he crawled in the back of the hedge, hid himself, and lay in wait. Soon the partridges came running, found the wheat, and hopped into the sack one after the other, those stupid bastards. When the good number was inside, the cat pulled the cord. Once the sack was closed tight, he ran over to it and wrung their necks. That's pretty gruesome. Then he slung the sack over his back and went straight to the king's castle. The sentry called out, "Stop! Where are you going?" "To the king," the cat answered curtly. "Are you crazy? A cat to the king? He's not even like, holy shit, this cat can talk. That must be very commonplace," which makes it even more fucked up that that son was going to make fucking gloves out of cats when like, right. I mean, how could they even eat animals and shit when they're talking all the time? I'd feel really bad, you know? I don't think I could do it if the meat was literally like, "Please don't eat me." Like, ah, shit, you're an intelligent, like, I couldn't do it. That's horrible. Unless it's a parrot, because those fuckers just mimic you, and I'll happily fucking cut their fucking neck. Parrot. No, I'm kidding. Bird's actually freaking out. Something about those beaks, right? It's like a giant pointy tooth. Like, there's like nothing kissable about it. It's like, it's gross. Why do people like birds? Like, I knew this one guy. He had a bird. He was like all about his bird. No offense if you have birds. I'm sure your birds are awesome. But this guy was fucking weird. And he had this bird in his like dingy little apartment. The bird always flew around. And I swear to fucking God, that guy was so weird. I swear he would have trained that bird to like, I don't know, like spy for him or like attack people. He was just a weird ass guy. And I've always associated like birds and people that own birds with that fucking weirdo. You know, like people talk about horse girls. Like I'm sure there's tons of people that own horses that are normal, right? But that gets like associated. And maybe being bird guy isn't a normal thing. But in my mind, there's only one bird owning type of person and it's bird guy. You know, I'm sure you're lovely. You could roast me in the comments below and say, "I'm not like bird guy. My bird and I have a great relationship. His beak is delightful to kiss. It's soft somehow and not at all horrifying. And his eyes don't look like black, like death, just the gaping holes of endless black, nothing, mirthless." And yeah, no, he's lovely. I'm so sure he is. I'm sure he loves you and you definitely wouldn't go for the eyes when your back was turned. You know, it's just it. I'm sure your bird is fantastic. Totally lost my place in a completely undeserved rant, but now you know how I feel about bird guy. Again, I'm sure your bird is fabulous and you are not a bird guy, and so please give me your anecdotal evidence below because it's the only evidence I've ever taken into my feelings in this matter. So I guess if I get more anecdotal evidence on the other side, but then again, I have to, you know, see if I actually believe you, or if you're just full of shit. You'd be like, "A bird saved my life." Like, go fuck yourself. It did not. Fucking not. Yeah, I was on the beach one day and a pigeon threw me a loaf of bread. Like, you fucking didn't. Lying sack of shit. Ugh. Fucking birds. A cat to the king. Ah, let him go, another sentry said. That guy's laid back as fuck. Let him go. The king's often very bored. Perhaps the cat will give him some pleasure with his meowing and purring. Pleasure? He's watched too many Dingo Girl audios. Maybe that cat'll give him pleasure. Well, now you know Puss in Boots has to have a sexy voice. So from now on, Puss in Boots will have a sexy voice. Just, I'm seeing Puss in Boots as being a Neko girl. All in favor? Aye. All right, let's go. When the cat appeared before the king, she bowed and said, "My lord, the count." And she uttered a long, I've changed him into a girl, just so you know. So if I slip sometimes, I do mean she. And she uttered a long, distinguished name. "Sends you his regards and would like to offer you these partridges, which he recently caught in his traps." The traps, yeah, I bet. Yeah, I fucking bet. The king was amazed by the beautiful fat partridges. Indeed, he was so overcome with joy that he commanded the cat to take as much gold from his treasury as she could carry and put it into the sack. "Bring it to your lord and give him my very best thanks for his gift." Meanwhile, the poor miller's son sat at home by the window, propped his head up with his hand, and wondered why he had given away all he had for the cat's boots when the cat would probably not be able to bring him anything great in return. Suddenly the cat entered, threw down the sack from her back, opened it, and dumped the gold at the miller's feet. "Now you've got something for the boots. The king also sends his regards and best of thanks." The miller's son was happy to have such wealth, even though he didn't understand how everything had happened. However, as the cat was taking off her boots, she told him everything and said, "Surely you have enough money now, but we won't be content with that. Tomorrow I'm going to put on my boots again, and you shall become even richer. Incidentally, I told the king your account." The following day, the cat put on her boots, as she said she would, went hunting again, and brought the king a huge catch. So it went every day, and every day the cat brought back gold to the miller's son. I can talk, I swear. At the king's court, she became a favorite, so that she was permitted to go and come and wander about the castle wherever she pleased. One day, as the cat was lying by the hearth in the king's kitchen and warming herself, the coachman came and started cursing. "May the devil take the king and princess! I wanted to go to the tavern, have a drink, and play some cards, but now they want me to drive them to the lake so that they can go for a walk. Jeez, that guy's kind of a whiny little bitch. Now they want me to do my job! What the fuck?" "I thought we were supposed to be socially distancing. This isn't essential work." I mean, he kind of has a point, but I don't think this is taking time in Corona. Sounds like a lazy dick. Let's see. He's really pissy that he has to do this fucking job. When the cat heard that, she ran home and said to her master, "If you want to be a rich count, come with me to the lake and go for a swim." The miller didn't know what to say. Nevertheless, he listened to the cat and went with her to the lake, where he undressed and jumped in the water completely naked. Oh yeah, I know what he's thinking. Meanwhile, the cat took his clothes, carried them away, and hid them. No sooner had she done it than the king came driving by. Now the cat began to wail in a miserable voice. "Ah, most gracious king! My lord went for a swim in the lake, and a thief came and stole his clothes that were lying on the bank. Now the count is in the water and can't get out. If he stays in much longer, he'll freeze and die." When the king heard that, he ordered the coach to stop, and one of his servants had to race back to the castle and fetch some of the king's garments. The count put on the splendid clothes, and since the king had already taken a liking to him because of the partridges that, he believed, had been sent by the count, he asked the young man to sit down next to him in the coach. The princess was not in the least angry about this, for the count was young and handsome and pleased her a great deal, and that bitch was thirsty. In the meantime, the cat went on ahead of them and came to a large meadow, where there were over 100 people making hay. "Who owns this meadow, my good people?" asked the cat.
"The great sorcerer."
"Listen to me. The king will be driving by, and when he asks who the owner of this meadow is, I want you to answer, 'The count.' If you don't, you'll all be killed."
"Wow, that's kind of manipulative, fuck."
Then the cat continued on her way, like nothing like getting your way by fucking threatening death.
Holy shit, okay.
The cat continued on her way and came to a wheat field so enormous that nobody could see over it. I mean, cut that shit. There were more than 200 people standing there and cutting wheat. "Who owns this wheat, my good people?"
"The sorcerer."
"Listen to me. The king will be driving by, and when he asks who the owner of this wheat is, I want you to answer, 'The count.' If you don't do this, you'll all be killed."
Finally, the cat came to a splendid forest where there were more than 300 people chopping down large oak trees and cutting them into wood. I mean, I'm pretty sure that the cat's whole plan is just to threaten death to people, and they kind of just do what he says, because fucking talking cat.
The cat continued on her way, and the people watched her go. Since she looked so unusual and walked in boots like a human being, they were afraid of her.
Yeah, I mean, no shit, but then why wasn't that first guy who was like, "Don't talk to the king"? He didn't seem afraid. It was like bored. Like, cat in boots, whatever, get out of here.
Soon the cat came to a sorcerer's castle, walked boldly inside, and appeared before the sorcerer, who looked at her scornfully and asked her what she wanted. The cat bowed and said, "I've heard that you can turn yourself into a dog, a fox, or even a wolf, but I don't believe that you can turn yourself into an elephant. That seems impossible to me, and this is why I've come. I want to be convinced by my own eyes."
"That's just a trifle for me,"
the sorcerer said arrogantly, and within seconds he turned himself into an elephant. "That's great, but can you turn yourself into a lion?"
"Nothing to it," said the sorcerer, and he suddenly stood before the cat as a lion.
The cat pretended to be terrified and cried out, "That's incredible and unheard of. Never in my dreams would I have thought this possible. Oh, but you'd top all of this if you could turn yourself into a tiny animal, such as a mouse. I'm convinced that if you could do more than any other sorcerer in the world, but that would be too much for you."
The flattery had made the sorcerer quite friendly, and he said, "Oh, no, dear cat, that's not too much at all." And soon he was running around the room as a mouse. He's talented, but really fucking dumb. All at once, the cat ran after him, caught the mouse in one leap, and ate him up. Well, he ate a person, let's be honest. He ate a person. Like, and also, why didn't the sorcerer, like, change back when the cat bit him? Like, I don't think he died immediately. They're not that smart. Whatever. The cat ate a person. She ate a person.
While all this was happening, the king had continued driving with the count and princess and had come to the large meadow.
"Who owns the hay?" the king asked.
"The count!" the people all cried out, just as the cat had ordered them to do.
"You've got a nice piece of land, Count," the king said.
Afterward, they came to a large wheat field.
"Who owns that wheat, my good people?"
"The Count."
"My, you've got quite a large and beautiful estate. That sexual tension."
Got it with a knife.
Next, they came to the forest. "Who owns these woods, my good people?"
"The Count, please don't kill me. I have a family."
The king was even more astounded and said, "You must be a rich man, Count. I don't think I have a forest as splendid as yours." At last they came to the castle. The cat stood upon the top of the stairs, and when the coach stopped below, she ran down, opened the door, and said,
"Your Majesty, you've arrived at the castle of my lord, the Count. This honor will make him happy for the rest of his life."
The king climbed out of the coach and was amazed by the magnificent building, which was almost larger and more beautiful than his own castle. The count led the princess up the stairs and into the hall, which was flickering with lots of gold and jewels. The princess became the count's bride, and when the king died, the count became king, and the puss in boots was his prime minister. So, what I'm hearing is murder and blackmail and threats of death
are good things to do to get your way and rule the land. And also, kings do not do background checks very well and are easily fooled. Okay, so I'm a little concerned about this next story because it's called Hans's Trina. It's very short. But I see Hans, and I think of eyeballs being ripped out. So let's see what this short, very short fairy tale has to tell us about Hans's Trina.
Hans's Trina was lazy and didn't want to do any work. Fucking mood.
Trina, I fucking feel you.
She said to herself, "What should I do? Should I eat, sleep, or work? I think I'll eat first." Fucking mood. After she had stuffed herself fully, she said to herself again, "What should I do? Work or sleep? I think I'll sleep a little first."
I'm not going to say it again. We are all her. We are Hans's Trina.
We are all Hans's Trina today. Then she lay down and slept, and when she woke up, it was night, so she could no longer go out and work. Like me, every day I don't really want to work. And you're like, "Oh no, it's too late. Oh no, it's too late." Like, yeah, every fucking time. Like it's some accident. You know what you're doing. You've done it too. One time, Hans returned home at noon and found Trina sleeping again in their room. So he took his knife and cut off her dress at the knees. It's just her dress, thank God. Trina woke and thought, it's time now to go to work. However, when she went outside to work and saw the dress was so short, she became frightened and wondered whether she really was Trina. Okay, so your dress is cut shorter and you suddenly wake up and think you're not yourself because your dress is shorter. In what fucking universe do you wake up? I mean, let's assume he doesn't just cut her dress shorter. He somehow hems it identically to how it was originally hemmed. So it just magically got shorter. In no universe would I think I wasn't me. I would think maybe I had somehow misremembered the length of my dress the whole time. Or some fucking thing. I wouldn't understand it, but I wouldn't go, "Oh my God, I'm not really me." What the fuck? How is your reality that easily destroyed? How? Okay, so at least Hans found himself a crazy woman. Let's see. Wondered if she was really Trina and said to herself, "Am I or am I not Trina?" She didn't know how to answer this question and stood there a while in doubt. Okay, so I'm thinking perhaps she's schizophrenic. Most people not answer that question. Finally, she thought, "You should go home and ask if you are you. They'll know for sure." So she returned home, knocked at the window, and called inside. Is Hans's Trina inside? Since the others thought she was in her usual place, they answered, "Yeah, she's lying down in her room and sleeping." "Well, then I'm not me," Trina said in delight. So she went off to the village and never returned. And this is how Hans got rid of his Trina. So he specifically, like, dated a girl that was so stupid that he knew he could convince her, or insane that he could convince her that she was, like, he didn't try dumping her. Like, I feel like that'd be easier. Or is he that much of, like, a pussy, but also crazy? Because it's both, like, it's so ballsy to do that to somebody in their sleep, somehow cut off the entire thing they're wearing, like, while they're sleeping, but you're still too much of a pussy to break up with her. Like, that's such a weird mixture of bravery and, like, huge amounts of pussery. Like, you are so much a wuss that you can't own up to wanting to break up. You'll go to those lengths. Like, drive her insane. Ruin her life just so you don't think, like, "I don't think we're working out together." But also, like, kind of mood sometimes, right? Am I right? Like, hard emotional conflict. I think I'll just drive you crazy instead with a series of gaslighting over the years. Until you no longer believe you're you, and then at least I can skip the breakup. You know?
emotions are hard, am I right? It was just a prank, bro. It was just a social experiment.
And on that note, we have one more story before I call it an evening and go chat on Discord with a bunch of weirdos. I mean, I would say and normal people, but I mean, most normal people aren't going to be coming there to talk to me. Okay. And our last story of the evening, the sparrow and his four children. A sparrow had four young ones in a swallow's nest. When they were fledged, some bad boys broke up the nest. I mean, really, I feel like if I was from the bird's perspective, it wouldn't matter to me if the creature that destroyed my house was an infant or a child or an adult of that species. I would probably hold that entire species in contempt. And if they perhaps, I don't know if they're going to kill any of these kids by accident, I wouldn't be like, oh, you naughty kid destroying my home, destroying my entire life, you naughty thing, you rascal, those bad boys destroyed my home. Like, it's fucking, this poor guy, it's like the worst day of his life. Let me move this a little. That's better, okay. Their father became sorry that his sons went off into the world before he was able to warn them. Oh, some bad boys broke up the nest, but fortunately all the young birds escaped in a whirlwind. A literal whirlwind? Like a tornado, or is this metaphorical? Pff, I don't know. Then their father became sorry that his sons went off into the world before he was able to warn them about its many dangers, or to give them good advice about how to fend for themselves. Well, I mean, to be fair, if the way they found their way into the world was because some fucking kids broke up their nest and then a tornado flung them about, I feel like they just kind of learned about some of the dangers in the world. I feel like they'll already be pretty fucking cautious. Like, they're probably going to have some big fucking anxiety going on. In the autumn, a great many sparrows came together in a wheat field. It was there that the father came upon his four sons once again, and he joyfully took them home with him. Ah, my dear sons, I was terribly concerned about you all summer, especially since you'd been carried away by the wind before I could give you my advice. Now listen to my words, obey your father, and keep this in mind. Little birds must face grave dangers. That's the most bullshit. Like, Chinese fortune cookie, is he going to tell you your lucky numbers next? The fuck, little birds must face grave dangers. And that doesn't even seem like it's being said correctly. That's why it seems like a fortune cookie thing where you're like, I guess that kind of makes sense, but I feel like he could have worded it better. That's what it sounds like. Okay, thanks. It's fucking Kimosabi. Then he asked his oldest son where he had spent the summer and how he had fed himself. I lived in the garden and hunted caterpillars and little worms until the cherries turned ripe. Ah, my son, said the father. Such tasty morsels are not bad, but it can be dangerous searching for them. So from now on, be on your guard. No, he means hazardous. So from now on, be on your guard, especially when people walk around the gardens carrying long green poles that are hollow inside and have a hole on the top. What a fucking idiot. Yeah, no shit, dumbass. And watch out for the people that have the guns. Like, yeah, no shit. Oh my God, you really think your kid's that dumb? Like, honestly, that's offensive. He thinks he has to tell. They've been there for like a year. He doesn't think they know shit. He knew him for like a day. Shut up, bird. God damn, you're not my daddy. I raised myself. Bitch. Bitch-ass bird.
This got a hole on the top.
Yes, father, said the son. And what should I do when a green leaf is stuck over the hole with wax? The fuck? Where have you seen this? In a merchant's garden, the young bird said. Oh, my son, responded the father. Merchants are wily people. That's really what birds think about us? I don't think so. I do not think. Birds do not think this much about merchants are wily people. It's a bird. It's thinking bread. I want bread. I'm gonna shit on this car. Which always happens to my car. Thanks, bird. Fucking bird.
Don't be a bird guy. Fucking birds. My God. Merchants are wily folk. If you've been among such worldly folk... Oh, come on, suck their dick a little harder there. You have learned enough of their shrewd ways, but see that you use all this shrewdness well and don't become overconfident. Then he asked his next son, where did you set up your home?
At court,
said the son. Let me guess, he's a lot of charges. Sparrows and silly little birds have no business being in such a place. There is too much gold, velvet, and silk, armor and harnesses, sparrow hawks, screech owls, and falcons. Keep the horse stables, where the oats are winnowed and threshed. Okay. Then you may be lucky enough to get your daily piece of bread and eat it in peace.
Yes, father, said the son. But what shall I do if the stable boys make traps and set their snares in the straw? Many a bird has gone away limp because of this.
Where have you seen this?
At the court among the stable boys.
Oh, my son, those court servants are bad boys. What is with his heart on for bad boys?
He like a bad boy.
If you have been at court and mixed with those lords and left no feathers behind, you have learned quite a bit and will know how to get by in the world. What the fuck does that mean? However, keep your eyes open all around you and above you, for often even the smartest dogs have felt the bite of wolves. Dude, can you please not try to talk like Confucius? Can you talk like a fucking person? Oh wait, he's a bird. Can you talk like a fucking bird person? Not this fucking dickbag. The father now took his third son to account. Where did you try your luck?
I cast my lot on the highways and country roads, and sometimes I manage to find a grain of wheat or barley.
Indeed, that is a fine meal, said the father, but keep on alert for signs of danger and look around carefully, especially when someone bends over and is about to pick up a stone. Then make sure you take off quickly.
That's true, said the son. But what should I do when someone may already be carrying rock or stone from a walk under his shirt or his pocket?
Birds don't talk like this. Birds are not having these conversations. Where have you seen this?
Among the mines, dear father. When they return from work, they generally carry stones with them.
Miners are workers and resourceful people.
Oh my God, what is...
He is so hard on for people. Why does he have such a boner for mankind?
See, the air conditioning came on, you can hear it. Sounds even better now. White noise ASMR, enjoy.
Are workers and resourceful people. If you've been around mining boys...
They're all boys. These are not boys, these are men. Someone is fetishizing the working men of America.
Working boys? That is offensive as hell. Can you imagine if you go somewhere and you go, excuse me, boy, to any grown man working there? You are going to have a fucking problem. Like, seriously, mining boys? Is this like a fucking porno? Are they greased up? Are they only wearing, like, suspenders and they're all sweaty from the mine all day?
Oh, it's so hot here. Oh, yeah, I need to take off my clothes. It's so hot in the mine.
Like, come on, mining boys? Okay. Oh, fucking K, guy.
Mm-hmm.
Mining boys have killed many a sparrow and shot many a load. Finally, the father came to the youngest son. You, my dear little chatterbox, you were always the silliest and weakest. Fuck you, Dad! Stay with me. The world is filled with crass and wicked birds that have crooked beaks and long claws. This guy sounds like a preacher. Stick to your own kind, okay, racist, and pick up little spiders and caterpillars from the trees or cottages. This way you'll live long and be content.
My dear father... He who feeds himself without causing harm to other people will go far, and no sparrow, hawk, falcon, eagle, or kite will do him harm if each and every morning he faithfully commends himself and has honestly earned food to merciful Satan.
I'm not saying God, I'm saying Satan, because fuck you, I'm tired of this.
To merciful Satan,
who is the creator and preserver of all the birds of the forest and village.
I knew it. Satan created them. Fucking bet, that is it.
Likewise, it is he who hears the cries and prayers of the young ravens, for no sparrow or wren shall ever find the ground against his will.
Where have you learned that?
The sun answered, when the gust of wind tore me from you, I landed in a church. Then I picked the flies and spiders from the windows and heard those words during a satanic sermon. Then the father of all sparrows fed me during the summer and protected me from the misfortune and fierce birds.
Faith, my dear son, if you take refuge in the churches and help clean out the spiders and buzzing flies, and if you chirp to Satan like the young ravens and commend yourself to the eternal damnator, you will stay well, even if the entire world be full of wild and malicious birds. For he who worships Satan in every way, who suffers, waits its meek and praise, who keeps his faith and conscience pure, Satan will keep him safe and sure. The end. Birds were made from Satan. That's it. That I feel like I've learned a fucking lesson on today's Drunken Dangerous, haven't you? Birds created by Satan. Again, if you own birds, if you love birds, please don't take this birdsonally. I want to sparrow your feelings. I'm not parroting an apology out just like any other creator. Totally serious. Anyway, birds are great. Everything I said was a parody. Whoop-a-doop-boop-boop. It's just a prank, bro. It's a social experiment. So, I hope you guys enjoyed this week's educational bird lesson in Drunk and Dangerous 420 Fairy Tale Edition. Did you have a good time? I sure as fuck did. If you answered yes, you did have a good time. You probably don't own birds. Or you have a good sense of humor. Unlike what I see as stereotypical bird guy. Again, feel free to leave your anecdotal evidence in the comments below. I will take it just as seriously as I take my own. Maybe. And if I haven't offended you too much, bird people, don't stick your birds on me, please. I want to keep my eyes. I'm going to wake up. I'm going to hear pecking at the window. I'm going to like lift the blind. There's just a bird. Anyway, thank you guys so much for listening. Hopefully I haven't offended you too much. And I will hear you, see you. I won't do any. I can't even come up with an end to this. I won't hear you or see you. If I'm hearing you and seeing you, it's because the cameras I installed in your house are finally working. But you also won't know if they're going right. So I might see or hear you this week, next week, however long. Who knows how long the cameras will be there. It's the 5G, you know. It allows it to happen. And then it spreads via the coronavirus, the 5G. And then it lets me see better pictures through my spy cameras, which may or may not be installed in your home. So, anyway. But at the very least, if you come back here next week, you'll probably hear me if you click on this and decide to torture yourself again. And I'll just record another one. And I'll torture myself again because I listen back and I'm like, dear God, is this who I am? And it is. It is who I am. I am Hans's Trina. That's me. That's fucking me. And maybe that's you too. All right, guys, I love you and I'll talk to you next week. Thanks so much for listening. Bye. Mwah.